Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory Season 8, Episode 6. I'm Jack.
I'm ASD.
I'm Chavad.
Chavad, welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you back from the Tottenham Hotspur Family Podcast. Before we crack on the agenda, how's your podcast going?
Going okay. It's now into Season 5, so four years been doing it.
Excellent.
Definitely didn't copy us.
And where, if people don't listen, where can people find you?
The usual places, SoundCloud, iTunes, other smartphone devices.
Good thing about your show though is it's out like the day of the game or the day after the game, right?
It used to be the day of the game, and that became too stressful. It was impossible, particularly if you went to the matches, you couldn't really enjoy it. I had to always rush back, so now I tend to do it day after, which is
cool.
normally Sunday.
Cool. Harry Kane at the weekend overtook Jermaine Defoe in Tottenham's all-time scoring list. So what we want to know is, what are your favourite goals scored by both of them? So, ASD, we'll go to you first. You've got some
I've got some stats
for this, right?
Yeah, okay. So...
Busy day.
No, I just disciplined. So the... I've got my sheet. I finished my sheet. I've been to 153 Spurs games. Jermaine Defoe is my second all-time top scorer behind Harry Kane. I mean, we won't talk about all the different scorers because there's some mad ones.
But
on
a
there.
Special mention in that list to Jonathan Obika, who's in there with
I've
five.
I've seen five.
Which is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I've seen Jermaine Defoe play 34 home starts and score 23 goals, which is a decent return rate.
Excellent, yeah.
He has had two substitute appearances. And he didn't score any goals. The worst one of that was he played in the Man City game where we lost 1-5.
Oh,
do you remember
Tactics
that?
Tim, wasn't it?
Tactics Tim. Do you remember who scored for Man City? Remember?
Aguero.
Aguero, Company.
No, not this one.
Jovetic.
No. Mate, Dzeko got 4 in that game. He just absolutely destroyed us. I've seen him as two substitute appearances, no goals. One unused substitute against AC Milan, 0-0.
Oh, yeah.
Pav came
amazing
on.
Game.
That's the most nervous I've ever been in a game. And 3 away starts, 0 goals. I saw him score a hat-trick against Maribor. Remember that one?
Nice, yeah.
I was speaking to an Arsenal fan today about... They've got Quarabag this week. Do you remember Quarabag?
Carrier bag.
It's just... I miss the Europa League. My favourite goal... Cause all of his goals were exactly the same, weren't they? He was the sharpest striker you've ever seen. Right? You've never seen a player being able to put a ball... You know, Sturridge's goal couldn't have been, like, centimetres...
Yeah.
Out. Defoe was like that. He'd smash a ball as hard as he could at your face and it would be perfect all the time.
Never had a backlift either, Defoe, when he struck a ball.
It was ridiculous.
Phenomenal.
So the favourite goal I ever saw was on the 25th of November 2011. We were playing West Ham. Really boring first half. This is AVB versus Fat Sam. And I've actually got the quiz for you on the team, the Spurs team that night.
Oh, we're doubling up on this.
The tables are turned. This is for you as well. You can't see this. So, 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Hugo's in goal.
Did we only have two holding midfielders that day?
We only
It's a rarity on the AVB. Normally, I would at least four.
4-2-3-1. We had Hugo, Walker at right back.
Yeah.
Dors in the middle, Super Dors.
Yeah.
We had another centre back and another left back.
Yeah.
Then we had Huddleston and Sandro.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Then we had Lennon.
Yeah.
Someone in the middle.
Yeah.
Bale. Defoe.
Dempsey.
Dempsey in the middle up top, which is a great shout.
Dawson and... Was it Vertonghen?
Left back.
Asli Kotto?
No.
Norton.
No, not a left back.
Danny...
Not in the middle. So are you doing? Are you doing in the middle or are you doing left back? You've already said him at the left back.
Oh, Asli Kotto.
No, Super Yam was at left back.
Was he?
Yeah.
This is how defensive we were.
Corker then.
And Corker.
Yeah. He played that back four quite a lot, ABB, actually, didn't he?
Yeah.
With Yam at left back.
This goal, it was a really boring, nervy first half. Someone, and I think it's Walker, smacked it. It's either Walker, maybe Dors, smashes it into Defoe really hard from just outside the box to just over the halfway line. Defoe takes it and turns with his back to a defender, turns to face the goal, jinks onto his left, arrows towards the box. Just before he gets into the box, puts it on his right and absolutely smacks it past Jaska Linen, I think. And it was brilliant. He went and celebrated in front of the West Ham fans who'd be singing horrible songs about him all game, and it was just brilliant. And that from that point, even though we did concede, we battered them, and he actually scored another one where Lennon broke free. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, yeah.
Lennon broke free, and it was him and Defoe, and it was one of the few times where I've gone, this is a goal, because it was 2-on-1 with Lennon and Defoe. No one was within 10 metres of him, and Lennon just squared it to Defoe and he scored again. So that was amazing.
Great finisher, Defoe, in the over.
Unbelievable.
Really, like, whenever he was through 1-on-1, if you're a player and you play the pass and Defoe's run on one, just turn around and walk back to the halfway line, because the ball's in the back of the net every time.
He didn't do anything else. Yeah. He didn't do anything else, but he finished. And you get that. I was watching highlights of him today in preparation for this. You get the idea that he's been doing exactly that ever since he was like 3, yeah, just smashing balls in all day long.
Always struggled internationally.
Wasn't it always, though? It's funny. It was a tad predictable. You could see, if you're watching it, you could see, you get the ball on the left-hand side, it cuts in, and you sort of think, as a defender, you know what he's going to do, but he's still managed to pull it off.
Yeah.
And Harry Kane goal, ASD, you got a favourite?
That I've seen live is the header in the North London Derby. Is that yours?
Yeah.
Mate,
yeah.
I just...
The 2-1 win.
His North London Derby debut, I've never gone as crazy as I was there. I was in the South Lower... Yeah,
For the Kane one, I was going to go with that. Yeah, that one. So, is it favourite or is it the best goal that you've seen?
The best one's different.
In terms of favourite, the one that people always go on about, I'll mention it, but it's not really my favourite. Is the other one in the North London Derby? Oh, I think the season after.
I went crazy for the mask.
Yeah, the mask one. Okay, as good a strike as it was, for me, it means nothing because of what happened afterwards. The fact that
Sanchez scored.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I
prefer the header.
Yeah. Can you describe that goal just for people who don't remember?
He cut in on the left hand side. I think the ball was going towards the corner flag.
Christian Eriksen. Oh no.
Dele Alli kept it in the back heel.
Yeah. And he sort of cut in and then just curled it into the
really tight angle
out the corner. Yeah.
Where I was sat, so I was in the north lower for that goal, and he curled it towards me where I was sat, and as soon as it left his foot, we knew it was in, just from the angle we were sat, and it was just that it felt like the ball was in the air for half a minute. You were just waiting for it, and then hit the post and went in.
I love that.
And I remember in the madness of the celebration looking up and seeing a fan had actually jumped out of the east stand and was running along the side of the pitch to get with the players. All the stewards were going mad as well, so they didn't care. Amazing goal. And have you got a favourite Defoe goal?
I can't think of any. A lot of the games that I saw him live, a lot of the Spurs games that I've seen live have been more recently with Kane. I have seen Defoe in both the Red App and the AVB era, but not that many games. Mm. And off the top of my head, I couldn't.
A few people said that actually, that they don't really remember a lot of the goals he scored because they were all pretty similar. He wasn't one to pick the ball up and do what he did against West Ham. Yeah. That was a rarity.
That's why
it
stands
out.
The five he scored against Wigan are just, that's what Jermaine Defoe was all about. One touch, smashing him in. I've made some notes. Sorry, mate, about the West Ham game, because I had notes to everything. It just said Hitler and anti-Semitic chants from the West Ham fans. I always sat next to the
away
fans. Yeah, but I mean, this was the worst I'd ever heard it. They had a flair, which was quite exciting, and Alan Gilzean was on at half time in that game.
On Kane, I was just going to say, the headers are one I'm going to pick. I'm sure there are better quality goals that he scored, but at the moment, none. That's the one that came to mind. But there are a few others. There are the myriad of hat tricks he scored in the calendar year 2017. It's particularly 2016-17. He scored so many hat tricks. And there are two goals that I remember he scored at Anfield. Which one of them was my first trip to Anfield in 2015-16 when we were chasing Leicester, and the ball was sort of going out, and Eriksen flicked it with the outside of his boot. Kane got it, his back was faced the goal, and from a really tight angle he just turned and shot, and we were 1-0 down, it was 1-1. And then the penalty that he scored last season at Anfield, right?
After missing one, right?
That
took a lot. And
was that also his 100 Premier League goals?
So the three goals I'm thinking of now with that I love from him outside of England, because his penalty during the penalty shootout against Colombia was unbelievable for the pressure he had. The two against Chelsea in the game that made him, the 5-3.
Because people have said this.
That was January 1st. That was
Lampard, like Chelsea.
That's in my top three games I've ever been to. That's one of the best atmospheres I've ever experienced. It was rocking.
That was when I was going every game, and I hated going to see Chelsea because you know they're fans, and we always lost, and I hated it, and I can't believe I missed it. But the other one was his goal against Juve away last year. No one had scored against Juve at home for some stupid like 20 games, but we did it, and he did it, and he was like proper lone centre forward to play, going through one-on-one versus Buffon. And that's the sort of chance where you go, that's the difference between a team who makes it and a team who doesn't. That's why we only went out based on one goal last year.
I put this question out on social media as well. There's a few others that people have written in with. So Stephen B97 on Reddit has said, Defoe against West Ham, where he hit his first shot, bounced off the keeper and he smashed the rebound. I think we beat them 4-0. I think that was when West Ham lost 4-0 3 weeks in a row, which was amazing.
That was in the best Tottenham compilation video of all time, you know, the Dog Days Are Over. It's in that.
Yeah, and just the power he gets when he smashes
it's unbelievable,
that.
It's isn't it?
Screamer. Jambo9999 on Reddit says, Defoe's goal at home to Man City to make it 2-1 in a 3-1 win, where he gets played, sort of gets played in the left hand side. Touches it onto his right, goes past the company and smashes it.
It's the only game I missed that season.
Clinical.
Was at a wedding.
We scored 3 goals in 7 minutes in that game.
That was amazing.
It was phenomenal.
You can watch that Defoe goal from someone filming in the north stand behind the goal. That's a cracker.
Yeah.
I should have said that.
That's an absolute screamer. Shifty Fred on Reddit says, my favourite Defoe goal is probably also against Arsenal in the 4-5 loss at the Lane. Picks the ball up on the halfway line on the left-hand side, runs past two or three, it smashes it in the top corner. It's unbelievable goal, but it never gets talked about because we lost at home. That's one of the best Premier League games of all time, that, even though we lost to the other lot. Phenomenal goal. 42 Undead 2 on Reddit, this is talking about Harry Kane, says his header against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final just got a little dink on it, but the technique and precision on that goal was something special.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really good goal. Rose Putin on Reddit has also said Kane against Chelsea in the 5-3 20 yards out. That was the match that confirmed to me Kane was going to be a bit special and that he wasn't just on a fluky run of good form. Ludz06 on Reddit has said, for me, this is Harry Kane, working hard, fighting past defenders, quick shot, the game against Dortmund in the Champions League at home, where he gets sort of played up the channel, but just smashes his way through and gets a finish at the near post, which is fantastic.
Definitely a foul in that thing. If you watch it, it's definitely 100% a foul. But it's great.
And Comrade Strong on Reddit says, I don't think it's the best goal Kane has scored, but the one last season against Burnley away, where he won the ball back with a crunching tackle, laid it off and then gunned to receive the return ball and buried it. Just sums up his mentality, work ethic and completeness as a player, which I think is excellent. Yeah. And then Joey1982 on Reddit says, that 3-0 goal for Defoe against West Ham was
particular.
I've got two. One is a bit of a cheat because it's not for Spurs, it's for England.
Yeah.
And it's in the 3-2 friendly win against Germany where we were 2 down. Gets the ball in the box, Cruyff turn, smashes it in the bottom corner. Phenomenal goal, absolutely phenomenal.
Was that Dyer getting the winner? Is that that game?
Because Dele Alli missed an absolute sit-up at 2-2, horrific. And there were two strikes from Kane that he got against Leicester away in the 7-1 when we absolutely, 6 or 7-1, we demolished them right at the end of the season. And edge of the box, no backlift. And he doesn't even put it in the corner, he hits it so hard.
Ivan Kane,
Kasper Schmeichel's got no chance.
He's never going to make it as a footballer, just a one season wonder.
And my Defoe, there's two goals he scored in a game. It was in a 3-3 away draw with Wolves. So this is going back a while. And goals were almost identical. They're 4-2 on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
He whips them both in the top corner.
But he curls them. Yeah. He never curls anything.
Unbelievable goals. And again, they're not really Defoe type goals. Yeah. They just stand out. I was reading up on that game earlier, and that was against a struggling Wolves side, and Stephen Fletcher scored a late equaliser.
Did Defoe score many headers?
No.
I don't recall.
Yeah. I mean, I don't imagine.
They would all be coming back off a penalty save or the glancing.
And the only other real brilliant goal I remember from Defoe was in a home loss to Man United. He scored a bicycle kick after about 40 seconds.
Wasn't that a really early goal?
We go up the right hand side, cross it in, smashes it in, and we got battered by United. I think Giggs scored a 30-yard free kick and they just absolutely tore us. But that goal was pretty incredible. So many great goals from both of them, though. Brilliant finishes, brilliant strikers.
It's crazy how many goals Kane has got in such a short amount of time.
It's phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. Like, you have a look at Salah is struggling. Like all the great, who are the greatest strikers in the Premier? Like they're not.
He's gone past Ian Wright already, and he's played almost like 120 games less or something. It's
unbelievable.
Insane.
If he's, he'll beat Shearer. He'll be the first player.
If he
player
stays,
Shearer.
Yeah. Like, I could honestly see him getting 300, potentially 350 goals if he plays until his mid 30s.
Yeah,
it's just the numbers are phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
I think if he stays injured, I was looking at the what Greaves, and then I can't remember the order, but your Cliff Jones in there somewhere. And I was looking at that and trying to think, well, if he gets this amount of goals each season, how long will it be before he beats so and so? And I think for Greaves, there's a lot of assumptions here, but he's 25 at the moment. I think by the
age is not 25 at the moment.
By the age of 29, he could potentially beat Greaves' record, but that assumes he stays at Spurs for the next 4 years.
Won't they play more games then, as well? Isn't that right? Stato wouldn't
be screaming.
They would have been playing 42 league matches as opposed to 38, possibly.
That's a big difference.
But Greaves' return, like goals to games, is phenomenal.
Yeah,
absolutely phenomenal as well. But he's got every chance, and if he stays his career at Spurs, undoubtedly he will be our top goal scorer and the Premier League's top goal scorer.
Do you know how older people talk about Greaves and reminisce about all these players, right? We don't sort of fully appreciate this now, but what is it? The last four seasons, I'd say, we are living through a period of time where we are witnessing one of Spurs' greatest strikers. He might get sold in 2 years from now. He might go to Madrid or somewhere. So he might not ever eclipse Jimmy Greaves, but it will certainly be. He's already in the top five, and I think we'll break in the top three. And I genuinely believe in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we'll look back on it and we will say we were lucky enough. The same way that all these people go on about Greaves or Chivas or whoever it might be. And I think that sometimes we're living in the moment, but we don't just step back and look at it. It's amazing that we're alive and we're witnessing that.
I remember doing a piece on it with Stato. It might have even been last season. We were looking at our top goal scorers per season.
Yeah.
And obviously Kane's in the high 20s. And we went back not even long ago, sort of 9-10 years ago, and it was Gus Poyet, 8. Chris Armstrong, 11.
Yeah.
It's we've got a guy that's banging in at least 25 league goals a season. It's phenomenal. The guy's a machine.
He's one of the few players who's just raised our standards of what we expect. So he's ruined it for all future Spurs strikers because he's raised the level now. We expect minimum 20 goals a season from a striker. We didn't do that.
That's good, though. It's good that he's raised the bar. For too long, we had spells. Going back a few years, the early 90s, we had Gary Lineker, had Jürgen Klinsmann for a season, and then we sort of struggled to sign a good striker. We had Ferdinand, we had Rebroff, we had Helder Postiga, we had all of these players. Maybe when we had Kanute, Keane, and then Berbatov.
Yeah, Robbie Keane was good, but then we struggled after that. Even Robbie Keane's numbers, we all remember Robbie Keane had been a great striker, but if you look at the goals, it's decent. It's not.
Yeah,
I can't really ever recall him getting over 20. I don't think he probably ever did for Spurs. It's just Kane is unbelievable, and you just pray that he stays fit, because if he does, you've got every chance of winning any game that you go into. And we've got two games to go through. So firstly, the game midweek last week in the Cup against Watford in Milton Keynes. Now, Javad, you were there, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was Milton Keynes like? What was the stadium like?
A nightmare to get to. Yeah. A lovely stadium, I thought. Really, it was close to the pitch, complete contrast to Wembley, that's an event stadium. This is a proper football stadium, but modern.
Good atmosphere?
It was good. It was decent. I mean, it's just the fact that you've got so many people going out on a making the journey up, and maybe some number didn't, and then you've got a few Milton Keynes locals in there, so the atmosphere was decent. Not maybe as good as it could have been, but it was what it was.
And it was an interesting game because we played without a centre forward for the first half. I had the commentary on the radio, but it didn't really sound like much happened in that first half at all. And the second half, everything changed. Watford come out and scored a really early goal, which, honestly, as soon as that went in, I was assuming the worst. I'm thinking, God, here we go. It doesn't sound like we're playing great. In Poch's credit, he made some changes, and you know, we scored twice in 5 minutes. From the commentary, it sounded like actually Llorente coming on and being a bit of a point up front, whilst he's not a fantastic player, gave us a little bit of direction in our attacks. I mean, you were there, you can probably tell me a little bit more if
who,
that was
who
correct
else came
or not.
On, I'm trying to think. Did Dembele come on?
I
can't
remember. Think Dembele came on.
If I'm going to be totally honest, I think Dembele coming on, that was good. And I think the link-up play with Lamella and Simon was good second half. I can't remember Fernando great deal. We didn't play well overall, but then I don't think Watford offered a great deal.
It sounded, honestly, not too dissimilar from the league game that we had with them, where both teams are sort of cancelling each other out. Because I think Watford actually have one of the best teams in the last 12 months to actually really stop us playing, because we haven't seemed to have got any tempo, anything against them. So that's sort of credit to them. The Lamella goal to put us 2-1 up is
stunning.
A fantastic goal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. First, Harry Winks, the strength to keep hold of the ball. Lovely left-footed pass to Dembele. Dembele driving with it, which I feel like he hasn't gone on one of those runs for a while.
Yeah.
Lovely ball to Lamella, and the composure and the audacity from Lamella to just dink the keeper.
It is brilliant.
It's unbelievable.
It's brilliant. Winks, I genuinely believe, will be a superstar. Like, he could be the real underrated superstar of the future. Like, he's the closest thing we've had to Modric, and I'm not saying he is Modric, but the way he sees the game, he's looking at a chessboard and he can see where people are moving and he knows how to move the other way. I think he's brilliant. Like, genuinely one of my favourite players.
I really like Winks. I think he brings something different to our midfield. And I think he brings a lot defensively, and I think that gets overlooked, because we've got Dembele, Dayan, Wanyama, all your traditional modern day defensive midfielders, 6 foot plus, big, strong, like, good luck getting past them. But where I always feel like they get done is against the teams that play quick one touch football and then just pop it around.
Yeah.
Dyer in particular is one of my favourite players, but he in particular struggles against sides that have got the David Silva type midfielders that can just play really quick round you. Winks is fantastic defensively in those games, just ratting around people, just being an annoyance. Basically what Kante does, it's not to the same level, but it's that kind of that mould of a defensive midfielder against the sides that are better in possession.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. Obviously what he brings with the ball is great as well. It's so positive. He always wants to go forward, but he knows sometimes just keeping possession is good. He's a bit like Michael Carrick, really, the way he gets on the ball. It doesn't matter if there's two men marking me, give me the ball, I won't lose it.
Yeah.
And you very rarely see him give it away. So I just think he's probably the only midfielder out of the four that offers something a little bit different. He's not right for every game, but I think when he does play, he always seems to play pretty well.
If he can stay clear of injuries and get a run in the sides and recapture the form that he showed last season against Madrid home and away, Liverpool, he is some player. I genuinely believe that if he hadn't got injured last season and he'd continued that form, then he would have easily been in the World Cup squad.
Oh, yeah.
That said, getting into the World Cup squad these days is... It seems you just have to be English to get in. Yeah. If you look at some
players,
play for
a decent side.
Yeah,
but everyone forgets about that Madrid game, that away one, 1-1 in the Bernabeu. Played the diamond, Llorente and Kane up top, Winks on the pivot of the diamond as well.
Yeah, man.
And it was Sissoko on one side, Eriksen on the other side of it. Like,
absolutely crazy,
incredible.
Well, he set up. What he's brilliant at is breaking the line. Like, everyone sets up in a defensive line, or it's not like Man City are very dynamic. But apart from that, people have lines, and you can see it very clearly. He's brilliant at passing a ball through a line and breaking free. Like, you have a look at what he did for that goal, and he did exactly the same for the breakaway goal, Eriksen's goal against Real Madrid. He takes an extra second, which most people don't do. Like, Sissoko panics, whereas Winks...
Sissoko
just panics. Winks takes that second, and he changes what every other footballer would do to what he would do, and suddenly he's created an opportunity. I think he's brilliant.
And he's got the number 8 shirt as well, which is good, because he needed an upgrade from 29, didn't he?
Yeah, we love
that. But I mean, Watford got that last minute equaliser with the Capoue goal, which was a ginormous deflection. And on the radio, they were sort of like questioning the goalkeeper, and they were like, oh, slight deflection, could Gazznig have done one? When I saw the goal back, it was like,
it was going wide.
Like, it was going wide twice, wasn't it? It was ridiculous. And then when you hear that and you hear penalties, it's just a lottery at that point. Our history is not great in a shootout, but. You know what, Gazzaniga is a big presence in goal, and that's really the only question mark you really have with Loris, aside from his distribution, is penalties, I can only really recall him saving one or two.
I haven't looked at it.
Yeah, whereas Gazzaniga is just naturally a bigger bloke. He's a little bit more intimidating, isn't it? And he was brilliant in the shootout. Both of the saves were fantastic.
He's brilliant. Like, I haven't got a bad word to say for him. He keeps on delivering man of the match performances.
What do you think? Were either of you concerned when he went to penalty shootout? Because I looked at them, and Gomez was in goal. Yeah. And he had a good record at PSV, supposedly, when we signed him, in penalty shootout. I think... Did we not play them
in a
Europa game, and that went to a penalty shootout just before we signed him?
We had a penalty to win that game as well, that PSV game, and he saved. Genius come up and hit a really good penalty, and it was an unbelievable shot from Gomez.
That said, I don't recall Gomez making any penalty saves.
He did for us, didn't he? Charlie Adam.
Oh yeah, the most Gomez moment ever.
He saved it, pushed out for a corner. It came back in, and he fouled in the corner, in the corner, away. And then they scored again.
That was a home 1-1 home draw to Blackpool.
That was dreadful those days.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you know what? The quality of penalties from us was outstanding as well. I particularly enjoyed Lamella's one, just stroking it in the top corner was fantastic. Llorente's as well, where he smashed it in the roof of the net, like no one saving that. It's good to get through. Like, I think a lot of the time, if you struggle early on in a cup competition, get through on penalties when you don't deserve it, it almost gives you that little bit of belief that
we're going to need it.
We could do it.
There was something which I don't suppose the cameras picked up on. Maybe they did. But when Son scored his penalty, he went over and he celebrated with Gazzaniga, and he sort of
gave
him some encouragement.
Yeah.
Whereas Lamella and Llorente certainly just put their penalty in it and just walked back. To them, which is fine. But it was nice seeing Son, and he's really, I mean, he loves Spurs,
it's an emotional thing, penalty shootout as well, isn't it? But it's great to get through. We'll come on to the draw later. So that was great. And then we had Huddersfield in the league at the weekend, which they don't look a great side at all, Huddersfield this season, one of the poorest, but it's never easy against those sides that are going to have a lot of men behind the ball, rely on set plays. You've got to be really sharp defensively for a counter-attack. And it was a really professional performance.
It
wasn't a great game, to be honest, watching it.
No, that's fine.
It was a fight, and we stood up to it, and we said, okay, like, we'll fight you, we'll match you, and then our quality will come through. And you were there as well, weren't you?
Great. I would say that probably their stadium is the best away ground that I've ever been to.
No way.
Wow.
Because... I mean, obviously, our fans...
I love that you were at the San Siro the week before as well.
that was good as well. That was the best in terms of atmosphere that I've ever been. I was surprised. It was lots of noise. But in terms of... And at the time, I remember sitting at San Siro thinking, why can't English grounds be more like this? Because you go to places like Old Trafford and Anfield, and they are a big letdown. But Huddersfield, all of their fans were making noise, as well as our fans, and I love that. And so from an active point of view, you've got our fans, you've got their fans making noise constantly throughout. There was a drum, and I know that sometimes when a drum is mentioned, people roll their eyes, but it actually did help create an atmosphere. And the locals were really nice, so that was good. But yeah, they're a team that we're expected to beat, and we did that. They went close with a shot which sort of swerved right at the, and I was right behind the goal when the Huddersfield player. I don't know who it was who took the shot, but it swerved right at the last minute, and Gazzaniga made a good save.
And they also smashed the underside of the bar, didn't they?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
That really should have been in.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good for Kane to be back in the goals again with two.
Brilliant.
The header
was unbelievable.
Alan Shearer. That was again a brilliant delivery from Trippier, and just gets above it, sent off, and they've got big centre-halves, Huddersfield as well.
Who else? I was thinking about this. Like, Drogba makes that. You know, Drogba's one of my all-time favourites. But Giroud makes that. But then how many other centre-forwards make that? Like, seriously, how many other centre-forwards make that?
There's not many anymore.
Back to his best?
No, but I think he'll... Like, I can't wait for Wednesday. Like, I know we'll get on to Wednesday. But I think he's looking good. They highlighted him on Match of the Day, didn't they? And they showed about how much deeper he was, and he's definitely getting there. But he always takes a bit of time to warm up. He's got a young kid.
I just think that he was told more in the Huddersfield game to stay high up, try to resist. Because he's one of them players, when he's not getting the ball, he's like, right, I'll get the ball for the goalie if I need to. Like, he's that type of player because he's that good. And I think that there were more tactics based on him. Stay high up, just try and stay in the final third, because that's where you do the most damage. And I think that everyone's saying, is he back? I think he's been fantastic the last three or four games again. It's just sort of like, you're not going to be able to be at the insane levels for 90 minutes every game, but I think he's back to making those runs in behind that maybe he hasn't been making as much at the start of the season, because Lucas Moura has been playing centrally. He's sort of been like, okay, Lucas will go there, I can go to feet, where I always feel like Kane's at his best when a centre-half doesn't know what he's going to do. Is he going to spin me? Is he going to go to feet? I'm not sure, so it's difficult to mark. And I feel like he was back to that against Huddersfield.
The genius of Kane is, even if he's not supposedly playing well, he will still pop up and score a goal. And the opposition manager will look at the team machine and look at the fact that Kane's on there, and that will cause concern. And the other thing you just said is a good point, was the fact that he always takes a while to hit the ground running. And the only, I'd say, since breaking through, the only season where I thought he actually really started the season sharp was last season. Notwithstanding that he didn't score in August, but he actually looked sharp. And I think that was because there was no World Cup, there was no Euros, there was no under 21 championship, and he had a good break last summer. So,
okay, here's one for you. So if I said, right, I've got three identical Harry Kanes, one's a holding midfielder, and one's the number 10, and one's Harry Kane, but you have to get rid of Dembele and Eriksen to have them there, because he is brilliant at every position.
So if Kane plays as a 10, I can't have Eriksen. If he plays as a 10,
no, well, I've got three of them. They're triplets. They all play exactly the same thing, and we have to sell Eriksen and Dembele. So instead, you're replacing them with three Harry Kanes in those positions.
Right, okay.
So you've literally got three Kanes on the
all
field.
All day I would do that.
Would
he's smart enough to be able to play any position.
Yeah.
I think when he was coming through as a youngster, he played a lot as a 10. And Poch has even sort of said that he thinks that
goal as well.
Sorry?
He played in goal.
Yeah. A lot of strikers do, though, don't they?
And Poch has sort of said in the past, hasn't he, that he sort of sees his best position as a 10. I don't particularly agree with that. I think he's best when he's leading the line.
Yeah.
But he's clever, isn't he? He's not.
Brilliant.
Like, you look at some of the other strikers in the Premier League, you look at like Lukaku, for example. He relies solely on his physicality. And he's not a clever forward. Like, you know, if he comes up against a centre-half that's bigger than him, that's Lukaku out the game.
Yeah.
Whereas with Kane, if that's the case, it's like, right, okay, what's your weakness then? And I'm just going to explore that. If that means I have to play as a right winger for 90 minutes, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
It's like he uses his mind so much better than a lot of other strikers.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
It's an unbelievable plan. But great win. That's three wins on the bounce. Not bad for a team in crisis.
Yeah.
4 points off the top.
Mate.
It's Liverpool City this weekend, so there's going to be drop points there. So if we can beat Cardiff at home, we're in a good position there. We could potentially be 1 point behind Liverpool.
Mate, the ground could be empty as well on Saturday, because it's like we were talking about earlier. It's that game. It's the game where season ticket holders could get their money back. So most will, because they're season tickets.
I'm not going at the weekend. We'll do the Cardiff game now. I'm not going for that reason. Like it's more.
There's nothing wrong with
it. It's money, and you know what? I can take that money back now, and actually, that's more beneficial right now where I am. I would love to go still, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things, and so I'm not going Saturday against Cardiff. It should be a routine victory. I mean, they also look a really poor side. Can't keep a clean sheet either. I watched the dreadful game against Burnley that they played, which was so bad that I was invested in it. I was like, I've got to stick with this. Yeah, I can understand why. It was shocking, you know, absolutely shocking.
I would love to see Cardiff City in a blue shirt do well, but there's nothing there. Like Warnock, he's going down. Like, I know he's got a promotion.
Right, what do you do in that situation, Cam? Because they've employed Warnock.
Yeah,
they were definitely not expecting to go up. He's taken them up. Any football fan in the world can look at that and say he has got no chance of keeping Cardiff in the league. Do you say, you know what, you've got us there, I'll give you the season, the likelihood is you're going to take us down, but we didn't expect to go up? Or do you say to him, thanks for everything you've done, however, I don't think you're the man that's going to keep us up, sack him and get someone else in? What do you do in that situation?
So looking at it financially, you have to go, what's our 5-year plan for sustaining this club? And it would be growth. This is quite boring chat, but you have to go, it's for growth. I'm much more likely to go down, in which case what I want is consistency, and I'd rather be, I don't know, I'd sack him and get someone in. Like, yes, I really would.
I think ultimately he's not the, he's good at getting teams up, but when he gets them up, he's not got a great record in the Premier League. I think there are two schools of thought. One, they do a Burnley under Sean Dyche when they went down.
Yeah.
They didn't spend big. They got rid of Trippier, so they kept their finances were good. And then they came back up and established themselves.
Yeah.
So they do that route, but still with a new manager at some point. down the line. So they could, you could just
yeah.
get somebody in new now, and with a view to building for the future.
I'd have a young manager.
Yeah, I mean the other thing is, if they're very brave, they could look at the Swansea model. I mean, they and Bournemouth for that matter, both of them got promoted, both of them weren't expected to stay up, both of them didn't yo-yo like Burnley. Mm. They've actually sustained it and played good football.
Mm.
But I think to do that, you've got to have the right manager, and a blueprint, and you've got to be clever with your finances. If they start spending big and still go down, then that's going to be
a really difficult situation. But you mentioned Bournemouth there, just quickly. Unbelievable job what Eddie Howe's doing there. Like, if you look at that Bournemouth side, and they haven't spent. They've spent some money, but actually, the biggest question mark over Eddie Howe is his recruitment. Yeah. Because he's actually, look at the players he's brought in for more than 15 million. None of them are in the team. A lot of the players that play for Bournemouth were playing with him in League One.
Yeah.
So like, that tells you how good a coach he is, that he's been able to adapt his side up two divisions. Incredible. Bournemouth should be nowhere near the Premier League. They should be struggling in the Championship at best. It's phenomenal what he's doing there.
Yeah. We've got a very good, Pochettino's got a very good record against newly promoted teams. Mm. So
I think it's going to be a big score, actually.
I think we'll destroy
them. I could see a 4-5-0. I don't normally say that. I'm normally a bit nervous about these games, but I really could see us destroying them.
It's one of the few that get, you know, they always say there's no easy games in the Premier League, unfortunately. Warnock will sit down and go, which games does he want to win and which games did we just hope for something on? Losing to Burnley was not his plan.
That was a bad loss.
And it's just going to get hopeless. Like, they're 1-3 to go down, and that's good odds.
The problem for them is they now are going into these bigger games, where at the start of the season would be a write-off, thinking, actually, I really need to get something out of that game now, so I'm going to attack them. And you see what happens when the poor sides attack the top sides, they can get
torn apart.
Really,
it's an awful
really
situation. Do they sit back and get go down? Do they go at it? It's just awful.
Prediction for that game, Javad, I'll start with you.
I'll go with a more conservative 3-0. I think if we get that first goal, when we do that, I'm always a bit nervous. I just feel we can't defend one goal leads, and I think we need a second. But in this case, I'd be very surprised. I think that if they can come back at us and equalise, and I think it's the point at which they concede that first goal.
Yeah.
As soon as they try to do that, it's going to open up the game, and I can suddenly see it being 2-3-0. I'll stop shy of saying 4 or 5.
The only thing that
could be,
my only tiny worry is that they're extremely reliant, Cardiff, on set plays, and we've not been fantastic at defending them. That's the only way. As long as we don't give away stupid free kicks, I think we'll really minimise their chances. I'm going for a big scoreline. I'm going to go for a 5-0 Spurs this way. I think it's just one of them games where
I think
we just hit them early and they can't live with us.
I think you're right. I think it'll be like 4-0, like Kane hat-trick and Lamella, you know?
It's time for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
I'll talk about Barcelona.
We'll come on to it after, because the quiz this week is a Tottenham-Barcelona game.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
I mean, that hasn't happened in a long time, so
it has, actually. 29th of July 2018.
The Livermore game.
In the International Champions Cup friendly.
Yeah.
2018.
Okay,
so this is a few months ago.
Yeah.
We played them in the summer.
More recently.
Oh, bloody hell.
Tottenham 2, Barcelona 2.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
the
players that I need you to. You asked for recent ones, didn't you?
Yeah.
So, the goalkeeper is a question mark. So, you need to get that one.
Well, did they not. I thought there was one that started the first half, and then
it's the team that started.
Okay.
So the goalkeeper's a question mark. The right back was Serge.
Yeah.
The first centre half is a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
The second centre half was Ben Davis.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
The left back is a question mark. Two holding midfielders were Moussa Sissoko and Luke Amos.
Yeah.
Off the left was Son.
Yeah.
Off the right was Lucas Moura.
Mm-hmm.
The number 10 is a question mark.
Yeah,
and the centre forward is a question mark.
So was it Llorente up top?
It was Llorente.
Yeah, it was Llorente. And was it Winks in behind him? Or was it
Eriksen?
Christian Eriksen.
Yeah. Right.
It was the 10.
So we've just got left back and centre back.
And goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper. I definitely know in one of those pre-season games, Vorm started and then Gazzaniga came on in the second half.
It's one of them.
I'll go for...
Well, do you want...
No, go on.
Vorm?
Gazzaniga.
Really? I'm assuming it's Rose at left back, or is it one of the youth?
It's not Rose.
No,
at
Rose
left
would
back.
Have been at the World Cup. It would have been. So it would have been somebody who wasn't.
Is it a youth, like a youth player?
It's not a youth. It's a younger player, but it's not like, oh my god, who the hell's that?
Walker Peters.
Carl Walker Peters. Okay. Correct.
Right, and then centre back.
Centre back.
It's not going to be Toby. It's not going to be Yam because they were in the World Cup. It's not going to be Foyth if he was injured.
Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Great knowledge.
And I think he was only at fault for one of the goals. As well.
Yeah. He actually looked quite decent for us in pre-season. But
no, I mean, I know we have a lot of US listeners. I'm not having him.
Amazing.
Well, he gave away the penalty. He's lump. He gave away the penalty. He gave away the penalty, didn't he, for the. Wickham Wanderers game where we won
he
in the last minute.
Absolutely destroyed
by the fattest man.
But that was the only time I've watched Carter Vickers. I've been extremely frustrated because it's like, look who you're up against. Don't even get involved. Don't try and match him. Don't get caught up in that. Just play your game and you'll be able to, you know what Akin Fenn was about. He's a big lad. He's going to play to the. He got absolutely schooled that day. Yeah. But he's on loan at Sheffield.
He was at United, Sheffield United last year.
He's in the Championship, I think, isn't he, on loan?
I'm being a bit harsh.
I think it's Swansea and Onnemar is at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. So that team, just for everyone, against Barcelona in the summer was Gazzaniga in goal, Aurier, Carter Vickers, Davis, and Walker Peters, Sissoko, Swansea. Amos, Son, Eriksen, Lucas Moura, and Llorente. Which brings us on nicely to the game Wednesday night against Barcelona at home in the Champions League at Wembley.
Can't wait.
The atmosphere there will be amazing. It's why we're in the Champions League, you know, as a supporter, going back 4 or 5 years, these are the games that you really look forward to seeing Spurs in.
We just need Bayern Munich to tick all the boxes. We've seen Dortmund, we've seen Real, we'll see Barca, we've seen Inter and AC and Juve. This is the one. This is what it's about. This is what those players have been playing all. Yeah. It's what you put on the adverts for FIFA. We're going to see Lionel Messi at his absolute best. That's all I want to go and see. I'm not paying any money to go see it, but I'm like that. That is what I want to see. I want to see Alderweireld versus Messi. I can't wait.
It's the real like high end of football. This isn't it. I mean, what are your expectations going into the game?
Well, honestly, I think we'll lose because I think we'll play really well and we'll make a mistake or two mistakes and they'll be punished straight away. And I think it's just we're not on their level. They have been performing at the highest altar of sport for so long. Like you have a look at their recent history of the players. They're literally the greatest players who've ever played the game. Iniesta, you know, we're talking, and that's just what they breed. And it's just a different mentality over there. But I want to see us fight and perform. And some level of consistency. Like, I don't want to see Aurier on the pitch. I don't want to see Sissoko. Not because they're not. Sissoko, maybe. He actually did a good job against Real Madrid, didn't he, when he came on? But I just want concentration. My expectations are we'll lapse. That's the point. We will have lapses and it will be a few small errors. But I want to see Winksy starting.
I think in these games, you have to be so, so good with the ball. Yeah. Because you're not going to get it that much against Barcelona. We'll probably have 35-40% possession maximum. So when we do get it, we've got to be so good at keeping it, because the problem with Barcelona is that it's just a conveyor belt of possession. Yeah. And as soon as the Busquets gets hold of it in the middle, like good luck getting it back. You won't see it for 5 minutes. That's how long they keep the ball, and like it will be extremely draining and tiring for us. So when we do win it back, we've really got to make sure we keep it well. I'm particularly interested in just seeing how we set up. Because I think back to the Dortmund games and the Madrid games last year, where we sort of said, okay, you're better than us, have the ball, we're going to sit in, we're going to be compact, and we're going to play on the counter-attack. And we look really dangerous in those games. So I'm interested to see if Poch goes a similar way, or if he is really bold and says, we're going to pressure, we'll match you, we're going to go for you in the first 20 minutes.
Well, he tried to be bold last season, having set up in that way against Liverpool at home and Dortmund away. Dortmund also at home, where we didn't have much of the possession, but we still won those games. And then against Man City, both home and away, he tried to be bold, and it didn't work. So
we could really do with getting someone out this game though in the group, because you would probably say Inter will beat PSV.
It's not going to
happen. Barca beat us, we'll be 6 points behind Barca, 6 points behind Inter. It's just psychologically, if we could nick a draw.
Yeah, I think we're not having it. I just think that the positives are that the players are going to be up for it. They should be up for it. It's a big game.
Supporters will be up for it.
Should be good atmosphere. When we raise our game and when we play at the very top, then we can cause the very best problems. But Dele's out. We don't know if Yan and Dembele.
I think they'll be back.
I think so too. I think they were taken off at half time. He was more precautionary. The one I don't. Hugo might be back. The one I don't know is Eriksen.
If Hugo is back, would you throw him back in, or would you leave Gazzaniga
straight away? He's doing it on pitch.
Eriksen though, is he?
I think he'll be back. I think they just took all precautions because this is the biggest game of our season.
Right. I still think that my expectation, and I always bat Spurs to win or draw, and I never bat them to lose. I might expect them to lose 3-0, Messi hat-trick. But I don't think there's any shame in that. I think, as you said, actually, I think that they are on another planet, and so that's my level of expectations. And in terms of the group, I just think we are... That start, losing to Inter in the first game, and we played well, but we didn't... We deserve at least a point. I think that's going to put us in a difficult position. I'm expecting nothing against Barcelona, so that means we've got 0 points. The games against PSV, the back-to-back games, are going to be key, and they're playing Inter are playing Barcelona at the same time. If you take the best case scenario and we win both the games, the PSV games, and that neutralises PSV out of the way, and let's just say Inter lose both of those games against Barcelona, then you go into the penultimate game of the group against Inter at home. We've got to win that. We've got to reverse the result. Great.
The penultimate game is Barcelona.
No, it's Barcelona's the last one.
Barcelona's the last one. Oh,
is it?
So, let's say we beat Inter at home and we reverse that result. That might well put us at that point second, but that's going into the Barcelona game, and I can't see us going to the Nou Camp and getting something. That puts us on a lot of pressure.
The only way I could see us getting something there is if Barca are already through and mathematically a group winners.
It's tough, though.
Would they maybe rotate a little bit?
Weirdly, I can see us getting something more out of the away leg than the home leg, where I think we play more defensive. But can I read you? We haven't talked about Luis Suarez as well, who's an outstanding striker. He's in their Barcelona. He's seventh in their all-time scoring records already. But I've had to go on to their records page, and some of these stats are ridiculous. Most goals scored in one season in all competitions, 73, Lionel Messi. Like, ridiculous. Most goals scored in one game, 9, and the guy did it 3 times.
It's just that Messi is... I know there's always a lot of debate about Messi and Ronaldo. I've been lucky enough to have seen them both play. And Messi is on another level. He does things that Ronaldo can't even see.
No.
Ronaldo is a scorer of incredible goals, and he's so entertaining to watch because of the way he plays. But I just watch Messi and just think, there's no one on this level. I don't even think in sport. I think if you look at all the top people that dominate, like if you look at women's tennis, Serena Williams, I think she's dominated for years, but that's nowhere near the levels that Messi's dominated in football. It's absolutely
terrifying.
He's
done it with different teams, different managers.
Could he do it on a Tuesday night in Stoke? I think he probably could if he's doing it in Champions League finals.
I think he really could. But could he pay his tax? No,
probably not. Probably not.
Anyway.
So, quick predictions for Barca.
0-1.
3-0. If I go into it with that mindset and we do better, then that's good. It would be nice to actually just go into it with low expectations for once.
I've got to go for an optimistic draw, having 1-1. It could happen. Barcelona, the only positive is Barcelona are on, was it their worst run since 2003 or something like that, because they haven't won for 3 games.
Ignored Inter, I think, as well.
So there we go.
Oh, good.
It was the Carabao Cup draw as well. West Ham.
We know it's their cup final. Can we just move on? Like, hate them.
We're going to have them away twice in about 10 days. We'll play them in the league and then we'll play them in the cup. That week is going to be mad because we're going to have City at home on the Monday. Then the likelihood is West Ham away on the Wednesday or maybe the Thursday. Wolves on the Saturday night.
That's tough.
And then PSV on the Tuesday. So that fixture congestion is awful. Insane.
And if one of those games has to give, you can imagine which one it's going to be. It's going to be that Carabao Cup tie. Think.
And I can sort of understand that if he has to deprioritise one of them. I'm all for let's go for everything, but
let's just get out of
you know, for Poch, the Carabao Cup is not a priority. Like, he just is not bothered at all.
No, that's good. So,
there we go. Quick fantasy football update.
All right.
You're still... Are you in our league, Javad? Mm-hmm,
I think so.
You are. So...
No, we're near the top.
In 26th out of 30th. So James Lamont is still absolutely smashing it at the top with 490. Richard Healy in second with 462. And then, believe it or not, I have crept into third place.
You had a monster year a couple of years ago, right? You were top 10,000 in the UK.
Yeah, I had a really good one.
Decently within that.
So I've gone into third, Richard Pardy in fourth, and Abbas has shot down to fifth. So, I mean, he's crumbling already, which is not too surprising. But yeah, that's a fantasy football update.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. anything else you want to talk about?
No, man.
No? Good. Javad, absolute pleasure as always having you on. And if you're not subscribed to Tottenham Hotspur Family Podcast, please do. Remember, whatever happens this week, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football. And I always thought that football was a very important game. But I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. Curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy, and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael Van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.